Drop into the Webmaster chat room.
Webmasterradio.fm.
Clothing is optional.
Webmasterradio.fm.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Welcome to Life Tips, the show that offers expert tips and savvy advice to make life easier and more fun on the web and around the world. Life Tips President Byron White talks to the latest trendsetters about strategies to grow your business. Editor Melanie Nayer interviews celebrities and expert writers on their tips for making life enjoyable and entertaining. Now, please welcome this week's Life Tips host, Byron White and Melanie Nayer.
Hey everyone, welcome to today's Life Tips Show. Today is Wednesday, June 20th. I can't even do this with a straight face today. sorry, I thought I was going to be able to make it work. Byron, welcome.
Well, great to be here. I am particularly excited about this show.
I know that you are.
I know you're finding comedy in it, but we are connecting today with somebody that really is unusual and interesting.
And there's, well, I find the comedy in it, Byron, because I'm sort of morally opposed to it. But let's give everybody a little bit of background.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're at Book Expo, which seems like an eternity ago, but is really like 3 weeks ago. And Byron's doing his thing, working the floor, getting great writers for me and, you know, great printers and great publishers and just lining everything up for me so that I can do my job the best way that I can. And Byron comes back and says, I just met the greatest guy. This guy was amazing. And I said, who was it? And Byron says, his name is Martin, and he's a hugger. Said, a hugger? And Byron said, the man hugs you. He has completely captured the art of the perfect hug. Byron, what did you learn from your hug?
Well, I have to tell you, the his business plan, and remember he's an artist and a creator and a performer, and his story is really wonderful. I've read a good chunk of his book, and his gift to the world is to frankly make the world a better place one hug at a time, if you will. And his story is remarkable. I mean, you're going to like this interview. I'm very excited to interview him. Because he basically is a professional hugger.
How does one become a professional hugger?
Well, we'll learn that from him. I'm sure he has some stories to tell.
Okay, but let's talk about it before he gets on the line. Let's really look at this. Because there is, with all due respect to the art of hugging, there is a line that has to be, there's a line that has to be crossed here. Like, you have to make sure the person you're, getting your hug, you have to put credits to your hugging degree. I don't know. But these people have got to want to be hugged. You can't just walk up and grab someone.
Well, here's what's interesting. So he began as a performer that...
He was a classically trained actor.
He was an actor that lost his job. And basically, like many actors, went out to the streets and began, studying the opportunity to perform, to be a street performer, basically. Mm-hmm. And he was terrified of failure, like I'm sure a lot of people are initially, and really didn't know what he wanted, what he could bring to the table. He had some skits in the back of his mind and some other things, and he made his debut creatively by posing with a sign that said, as I recall, we'll ask him today, but it said something like, I've lost my motivation, or I need help, or I'm afraid to perform, or something like that. He'll tell us what the original sign was. And people were fascinated and enamored with him, that he would brazenly confess, with his sign and with his pose, and they were quite fascinated. People actually dropped some money in his overall, skit, if you will, which was the statue that's terrified to perform. So that then led to some more experimentation with his pose, one of which was a big, open, about to hug sort of pose, and it said he was passing by a store on the way to perform, and sure enough, he saw a little hamburger place or something that had a sign saying special, you know, a mushroom burger or something, and he thought to himself, special, that's interesting. And so he changed his sign to say, today's special, a hug, okay? And he would just stand there. And sure enough, in his hugging pose with his sign that says, today's special, a hug, he actually had people that came up to him and wanted a hug. And not only wanted a hug, but he gave genuine hugs to people, and they loved it. They paid him money to hug him. So that led to some analysis of the whole situation, some self-inspection of his own, challenges in life and his struggle in life to regain his desire to live and love and overcome personal crises and all kinds of things. And sure enough, he has developed a reputation of literally being a professional hugger. And you might say, you know, who would hug this guy? And what are his limits? And we're going to learn all about that today. But
no, we are. And let's talk a little bit about that. Because let's throw it out on the table. Living life means accepting affection. And you need that in order to grow. You want the affection. You want the emotion. And it's important to get that, from a spiritual and also a physical need. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's take this one. Let's talk about these things because this, you know, this is one of those. You know, we are here to make life better. We're here to give you tips on making life better. Here's a guy who, you know, really has this attachment to the physical art of hugging that will make your life. He went out to do it because he makes life better. But there's so many other sort of warped ways that people look for affection these days. Let's take, for example, some odd affectionate things that are going on around the world, and we'll start with the cuddle clubs. Are you kidding? People? No, I want to talk about this, because if we're going to do this, like, this whole hugging and spiritual, and, like, you always say, I'm not an affectionate person, Melanie, and you have, you know, I'm trying to open my eyes a little bit here, and I'm working with you, Byron, but people pay to cuddle? Really? This is what the world is coming to?
Well, I don't think
did you take a look at that link? Because I want you to look at the link.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at cuddleparty.com. Thank you
right.
for sending me that link. And this is an interesting tie-in. I'm interested to see what Martin thinks about this. But
well, it is an interesting tie-in because the whole point of cuddle clubs, so to speak, is not for anything. It blatantly says it on the site. This isn't. It's not a sexual thing. It's not to do. It's just to focus on the art of cuddling because cuddling innately makes people feel better. Okay. So, all right, you pay, you go to a party, you put on your pajamas, and you lay in a circle, and you cuddle. You don't know the person next to you. I don't know. I find this morally wrong. But you don't know the person next to you. You have no idea, right, what's going on. And then there's cuddle leaders. They lead the cuddling, Byron.
Nobody else
finds this strange. This is just me.
Well, you know, for example, there are people out there that have been raised in a household or a lifestyle where, you know, hugs or cuddling or any sort of connection amongst your family is just not acceptable and not part of any culture, not part of the everyday experience. And I think that for someone like that didn't grow up in a very affectionate family or didn't receive that type of cuddling, connection that they have a void in their life, perhaps, and those are perhaps some of the people that are attracted to this cuddle party that is more of a fun, playful workshop. I mean, let's not make too much out of this than other than it is. It's fun and it puts a smile on our faces and it raises controversy. And it is an actual foundation that has people that are members to it. So how can we criticize it too much? I mean, people
well, that's
like
what I'm
stuff.
Saying. This is an organization that is, quote-unquote, a safe workshop on boundaries, communication, intimacy, and affection. How is this any different than a strange man walking up to you and embracing you on the street?
Well, it's obviously quite different than that. These are people that are missing have a need in their life to be closer to other people and, you know, and want an opportunity to connect with people in a creative way. My guess is when you go to this workshop, everyone's there and interested and energetic and surprised with the opportunity. There's probably an intellectual component to it, I'm guessing, as well as a, you know, an opportunity to, you know, experiment with your own feelings about how you greet and meet other people. I don't know, you're putting me in a precarious situation to try to defend this, but I think there's a philosophy involved with it, and I think it's, you know, going to involve people that are interested in it, hence, you know, I mean, heck, the Cuddle Party was founded in February of 2004. It's odd, I agree with you, but
oh, yeah.
I support it if people are getting something positive out of it, and my guess is they are.
Yeah, you never know. Now,
can we? Could we ever find Melanie at a
absolutely,
cuddle party?
Under no circumstances.
Well, what,
absolutely
what
not.
Is
it,
that?
It has nothing to do with lack of affection in my life and how I was raised. It's that I find it to be incredibly. I find it to be wrong. I think it's great. Not to mention, I'd get stuck next to like the fat, sweaty guy who wants to cuddle. Like that would be my luck.
Well,
and that's not very fun for me. I'm sorry.
But,
I don't mean, you know, like that sounds horrible, but I'm sorry.
I'm looking at some of the pictures of sort of the group. I see a group hug, you know, shot here, right? And there's like, you know, 10 or 15 people that are all, you know, embracing one another in a certain way, just with their arms around one another. And that's a cuddle. You know, it's a group cuddle. You know, I mean, football players, when they huddle.
Oh, but that's an interesting point.
Football players, when they huddle, I mean, that's
right.
Close to a cuddle.
But that's sports. Like, is there a difference? You bring up a really interesting point. You know, football players pile on top of each other.
Well, the huddle is probably more of a formal way. And by the way, sometimes they all touch each other's back,
right,
or, you know, whatever their protocol
it's
is.
All a matter
put their
of
arms
perception.
Around one another. You know, they're a team. They're working
right.
Together. You know, what's the distinction between a huddle and a cuddle? I don't know. That's an interesting one. So maybe you're now warming up to this.
No.
What if our office did a huddle?
Absolutely under no circumstances.
What if we all came together
no.
And just said, all right, everybody lean in. Let's put our arms in, you know. Team life tips, rah-rah.
I'm looking
would that
out.
Break the boundaries
my
of...
my office window right now to my staff and they're just literally like, no. Please don't make us do this.
Well,
work
know,
harder, I swear.
I think teamwork, you know, one of my favorite lines about teamwork is there's no I in team, right?
Okay, but do I have to walk in
now
and give everybody
an
a good morning
statement,
hug?
But that's a very famous intellectual little trademarkable burst that someone came up years ago. I'm not sure who that was. But, you know, it's a concept of teamwork, right? So
right.
When you have a concept of teamwork and you have a concept of togetherness, why can't you also have a physical display of that as well? You know, and where do you? I mean, is it the touching aspect of it? Is that the problem you have with it?
I have a problem with the stranger aspect of it.
So it's okay to hug people you know.
Absolutely.
Or cuddle with people you know, and adore
to,
and
with
family
a
members.
Yeah, I mean, there's a limit to that, obviously, but yeah.
Now, when you're on a date and somebody goes to give you a kiss goodbye. They were a stranger before you met them. So it
but if I don't want them to kiss me, then they're not going to kiss me.
Well, what if they go to hug you? Would you offer a hug to somebody that just
sure,
dinner?
Because I just probably spent a few hours with this person.
So how many minutes do you
but
need
I wouldn't
to spend
bring them upstairs to cuddle with them.
How many minutes do you need to spend with somebody before they break the ice of being a total stranger versus someone you know? What's
That's
the
a
minute
great
count?
Question. That's a great question. Because I guess, you know, I'm of the belief that you know within 5 minutes. You know within 5 minutes if this person is going to be in your life.
So within 5 minutes, you could make a decision with whether you would hug them. You would need 5 minutes. Now, what would you need to learn in 5 minutes about them?
It's my comfort factor.
Okay.
It's all about a comfort factor for me. If I'm not comfortable within the first 5 minutes, it's not going anywhere else than dinner and drinks.
Why even spend just one dinner and one drink or... So maybe speed dating is what you need.
You got 8 minutes, pal. That totally
right.
Fits more within my
See,
life.
But that's
now,
so
granted,
shallow.
There are exceptions
that's,
to every
that's
rule.
That's so shallow, though, don't you think? I mean, in 8 minutes,
yeah.
I can completely assess and
it
and
is.
Learn. Okay. Well, okay, here's another angle on it. What about people that want to give to other people? Now, you're a giver. You do a lot of charity work,
absolutely,
right? Now, what about giving the gift of a cuddle or a hug or just a handshake? You know, let's look at those three.
But a handshake is not nearly as intimate.
What about a double handshake? Now, that's an intimate thing, right? You're,
yeah, I don't think so. It's just...
But isn't that confirmation?
You're not
that,
body to
hey,
body. You're not pressed up against somebody.
Well, stay with me on my question here. You went off on a tangent there. My question was more of, what about those that want to give something to other people? Okay? You could view hugging, right, as giving the gift of, hey, I care about you. You're okay, you know. We had a good conversation, or we had a good dinner. Thank you for your time, right? That's a hug could say all of that. Agree?
Absolutely.
It could be a thank you for what you, you know, engaged with me with, right?
Right.
What about people that want to give that gift? Is there something wrong with that in your mind?
People who want to give, if somebody walks up to me on the street because they wanted me, they wanted to give me a hug because they want to give me a gift of that?
No, because they want you to feel good. Giving a hug
makes
someone feel good.
Not from a stranger.
Well, no, let's not think about, no, you're thinking about it from your receiving perspective.
Okay.
I want you to think about this from the giving perspective. Okay? All right, so you give to charities your time.
Yes.
Right, and it makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
Okay. What about somebody that wants to give to other people something that will make them feel good, which is a hug, if they want a hug? Not if they don't want a hug, because that's something different. That's illegal, right? I'll get you in jail, okay? What about the person that wants to give to someone else something that they think the other people want and will make that other person feel good?
Okay.
Don't they, isn't that a good thing?
Yes, because it's making, it's doing something for somebody else that makes them feel good.
Great. Well, that's what we're going to learn today with Martin, is that he is truly giving something to other people that want to receive that hug. And he never hugs anybody who doesn't want to receive a hug, but we're going to learn some interesting things. Let's take a break here and come back with Martin and get some of these challenging questions answered. We'll be back in a few minutes, everyone.
Life Tips on WebmasterRadio.fm. We'll be back with more cool tips and advice right after these commercial messages.
Generating buzz for your company is essential, and now easier than ever with VaporPost, the consumer-generated advertising network. Our powerful network of bloggers at VaporPost will creatively expose your product or service through original link-generated ads and embedding video or audio on their sites. Launch your viral marketing campaigns with confidence and enjoy increased traffic with higher conversion rates only through VaporPost. Visit VaporPost.com and join the revolution.
¡Vive la revolución!
Mr. Scott, I can't get any more information onto our website.
I'm doing the best I can, Captain. There's no more room on the server. It's going to blow.
Evaluation, Mr. Scott.
The logical answer is Lunar Pages. Reputation, reliability, and legendary 24-7 support makes Lunar Pages the host to cling on to.
Did you say clinger?
Aye, Captain. Sign up at lunarpages.com and get $700 off coffee cup software absolutely free. If you call, they will answer. Lunar Pages it is.
Beam us aboard, Mr. Scott.
For out-of-this-world web hosting, Lunar rocks.
Sign up for web hosting with LunarPages.com and use coupon code LUNATICS to get $28 off.
Are your ads managing you? Tired of click fraud and little or no ROI on your pay-per-click search ads?
Take control.
Reduce your costs and gain valuable traffic with effective flat-fee featured listings on over 245 search engines and web directories from the ISEDN.org, the independent search engine and directory network. Now free yourself from click fraud, bidding, and hassles with low-cost top 10 exposure for less than $4 a month from ISEDN. So visit ISEDN.org today and discover how easy it is maximizing your company's online revenue stream with affordable search engine and directory flat fee ads from the ISEDN.org.
From
WMR Studios, from Academy Award-winning producer, Mr. Producer, and Academy Award-winning director, Mr. Intern, comes a two-hour roller coaster ride of thrills.
Excited about the different things that are going on here.
Chills.
Wow, that's excellent.
And pure adrenaline.
How are you doing today, Greg?
Excellent.
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 Excellent. And again, sounds like the show's going pretty well for you.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent.
Next up now is Chris Tolles.
Excellent. And welcome to Next Up Now.
Good karma's good ROI, Greg Nyland.
Trying to put your hole in the dam with all the cracks. You know, as soon as you get one, there's always a new one.
Excellent.
Starring the blockbuster event of the summer, Chris and Greg's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Critics hail it as the best buddy movie of the year. East meets West in this laugh-out-loud box office classic.
Excellent.
You'll cry. You'll cheer for Chris and Greg's Excellent Adventure. Rated EX4.
Excellent.
Check out Next Up Now with Chris Tolles, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, and Good Karma, Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, only on Webmaster Radio.
Coming soon to a podcast near you.
Excellent.
Just getting your feet wet on the internet? Then dive into our stream.
Webmasterradio.fm.
We're the coolest place around. Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips, the show that offers expert tips and savvy advice to make life easier and more fun. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Life Tips show here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. We're honored today to have a wonderful guest that we met, a gentleman named Martin Neufeld. Welcome, Martin.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me. I think it's wonderful.
It's a real pleasure.
The first half hour, and I find your conversation quite interesting, and I'd like to participate in this conversation about hugging, affection, and the ability to share from one's heart. Hello?
Well, a good segue into numerous questions that I have for you today. Let me say right off the bat, I've taken a look at your book, which is called The Hugger Life.
Hugging Life, yes.
It's a wonderful story, really, is how I would sort of describe the book to people on how this all came about. So tell the listeners a little bit about your wonderful world and your wonderful giving of hugs and how it came about.
Well, in 2004, in spring of 2004, I decided to hit the streets as a 20 years, a film and television actor for 20 years, and I decided at one point in time to go out into the street, just try street performing, to have a different kind of rapport with the public, to improvise with and bring some characters along. And I went to a place in old Montreal called Place Jacques-Cartier, which is a huge public square filled with performers and tourists and the like, cafes. And when I got there with my suitcase and my old-fashioned suit and my hat, I froze up. I became afraid, intimidated by the public, and I didn't know how to start, and I was very frustrated, and I went home. I lost my courage. And I went back for several days, having lost. Each time, I wasn't able to perform. And on the fifth day, it was Father's Day, and I told my sister, I don't know what's going on. I lost my courage. And she just simply said, well, listen, why don't you write a sign saying, I lost my courage, and sit down in your suitcase and wait and see what happens. People will respond, no doubt, and be patient. And I did that. I bought two blackboards, and I went up there, and I put my suitcases down, and I wrote, I lost my courage, and I sat down on my suitcase. And people responded. They were actually quite touched by the fact that I shared my authentic feelings with them. And people come and say, I understand sometimes I lose my courage, and, you know, good luck, or where did you lose your courage? They would leave some money, or they would leave encouragement or kind words. The next day I'd come up, and for the next week I would write different sayings on my board, and I would take a position in which I would be in stillness, in immobility, and people would stop, they'd look. And I live in the old part of Montreal, and on the way to work to the square one morning, I saw a restaurant sign that said special of the day, and so I wrote on my board special of the day, and I thought, well, you know, what do I have to offer that's special? And I was looking at people go by, and I saw there's sadness in a lot of people, and I thought, you know, I'd like to offer something that makes people feel good. And then I thought, well, you know, I like hugging, and hugging feels good, and hugging's free, so why not? I wrote free hugs under special of the day, and I stood in between my suitcases, and I opened up my arms wide in an invitation, and I stood still, absolutely still, with my arms wide open, ready to except whoever would come. And people would stop. They'd stop and see my stillness, and then they'd look at the board, and they'd see free hugs, and they'd start to smile, they'd start to laugh, they'd tease each other. You know, some people were shy, but others had more courage, and they decided some would come, and they'd come for a hug. And when someone came for a hug, it made me feel good. I felt warm inside. And when I let go of the hug, I saw there was a sparkle in their eye, and people would look at me surprised with a smile and say, "My God, you give real hugs." And I thought, well, yes, they come from the heart. And they would leave a little more joyful. And I saw that those that didn't come for hugs would also leave a little more joyful, or at least having laughed or having had an enjoyable moment simply by watching this exchange. And I felt good. So the next day I continued with free hugs. And as the first summer went by, I started getting several hundred people a day who would come, and I would never pursue anyone for a hug. I always stand there in stillness and silence and let people decide for themselves. And when people would come for hugs, it changed. It literally changed my life. It allowed me to open up to life. It allowed me to discover myself as a much more loving, caring, and compassionate man. And people would feel that. And as the course of the summer went on, the first summer, the anger that I had within me, the difficulties I had facing life, and I guess facing the difficulties of everyday living and the pressures of our society today, started to melt away. And by the time the second summer rolled around, I had some very deep spiritual changes that took place within me. Because of what I do, because of the stillness in which I do a lot of loving-kindness meditation. And for me, hugging has become, it went from performance art into now, which is my fourth year after my book and the conferences that I give. It's very much a vocation. It's what I do now full-time. And to say, well, that must be strange. You know, you go out and you just hug people. How can you do that? And I think, well, I don't go out and find people. I just make myself available. I create a sanctuary in a public space where people can come and take a moment of just simple, of knowing that they're loved unconditionally for that moment, a moment of comfort, a moment of joy, a moment of fun, a moment of silence. People cry in my arms. People laugh in my arms. People reveal themselves to themselves. And then they leave, and I never see them again, and they never see me again. And it's a beautiful thing. To me, it's this exchange we have shared with a hug is profound for me. And it's through the hug that we humans can truly connect on an energetic level, can truly connect on and connect, unite with the divine within us, the divine energy, whatever you want to call that, whether you want to call that the energy of love, whether you want to call universal energy, the energy of life or God or whatever you want to call it, it can have a profound impact. I mean, people have written to me from all over the world, hundreds of people on my website, huggerbusker.com, and they told me how much they were affected, not just by the sharing of a hug with me, but by simply observing. Or not having come for a hug and how they have regretted it. Because performance art or what I do allows people to simply reflect on their ability and their ability to share and their comfort with physical affection. Not just with strangers, but with their families, with their friends. Because I see many families that are uncomfortable hugging each other, showing affection to each other, and that I find is a very, very sad thing. And in my speaking tour, when I talk to groups, I talk to them, I say, you know, it's not just about hugging. It's about smiling. It's about saying, "Hi, how are you? I wish you a wonderful day, sir or ma'am." It's about showing gratitude. It's those are the things that are important in life, because hugging is much more than just taking someone in your arms. For me, hugging truly is, I mean, you can take someone's hand and hold it with an intention of loving kindness and tenderness and truly give someone a moment of appreciation and they feel wonderful after. Whereas you can take someone in a huge bear hug and shake them all over and they'll leave feeling destroyed.
Tell us, I've got lots of questions for you, and that was a wonderful kind of topographical overview, if you will, of your philosophy and how it all started, and everyone really appreciates that. But I've got some questions for you, some challenging questions for you.
Sure.
That I think will help enlighten
some of the listeners with what's going on here. Tell us about the transition from performance in your mind to this sort of inner sanctuary that you found in the connection with people. Do you view yourself as a performer when you're hugging them, or do you view yourself in a different light?
At first, the first 2 years, I viewed myself as a performer, and viewing it as a performer in the sense that I have my outfit, this period costume that I have, my hat, and it's a sort of a show, in a sense. And you know, people come and they leave money in my pot, and when the intention is in part, I don't get paid to give hugs. And that's what I want your listeners to understand, is that I offer free hugs, and that's what it says on my sign. People leave a donation if they wish to, in a very discreet pot that's at my feet. I never ask for money. I get hundreds of people who come and hug me and walk away without leaving anything. I get people who come and leave money and don't want a hug. But when it was still about money, when it was still about my making a living in the street, it was still performance. And the day where I realized that, you know what, it didn't really matter, that this is beyond the few, you know, the few bucks people can leave. This really is touching not only me, but people, hundreds of people, in a powerful and profound way. It suddenly changed from performance to vocation. When I realized that, you know what, I'm going to abandon myself to life. And when you give, and what I've discovered is that when you give with heart, out to others, life gives you back in return, and it's that cycle. And I mean, we've heard this before. You know, we all know you give and you receive. You give whatever you give to life, you receive from life. But I experience it on a daily basis. That energy of loving kindness that I give to others, I am filled with this energy of love constantly, and it's a flow that goes through me. And I don't want to get into the energetic level of it, but that is one of the main principles of what I do. And once I realize that by my giving to others unconditionally, whether it be comfort, whether it be joy, whether it be love, whether it be whatever it may be, through my act of hugging, my art of hugging, life takes care of me. I mean, just the other day, without asking, I've been wanting to do a documentary. Let's talk about the law of attraction, because I talk about that in my book as well, and we have a lot of that in, you know, going on with The Secret and everything. Well, just, you know, for the past year, at the beginning of my journey, I wanted to do a documentary on what I was doing, and the doors kept on closing. Every time I tried to send in a proposal for a documentary about hugging and free hugging and all of that, the doors would close from production companies and so on and so forth. And then suddenly, you know, someone said, why don't you write a book? And so I did that, and the book flowed. It happened. And now that the book's done, just the other day, a man came up to me, and he gave me a $500 check. And he said, you know what, I read in your book you wanted to do a documentary, and it was your dream, and the doors were closing. Well, now I'd like to help you with your dream, and here's a check. And I don't, you know, don't call me, whatever. This is to support what you want to do. And I'm thinking, wow. And this is what's been happening in my life for the past 4 years. Situations like this have been happening. Incredible situations, the people that I've met, even our encounter at the book show, and the fact that I'm here talking to you on Webmaster Radio is an amazing experience for me, because had I wanted to, it probably wouldn't have happened.
Tell us,
I know I've gotten off
about
topic here, but that's when it's become performance, and now it's vocation, because I trust that I'm on a divine path of my own. This is my journey. This is my truly my vocation. It's my pilgrimage. And that's what it's become for me.
You've been at this now for quite some time. Is your primary source of income actually hugging people and through your donations, or do you have some other?
Partly through donations, but mostly through the sale of my book. I'm an inspirational speaker. I speak on what I do. I give workshops. I'm also invited to events to give hugs, to speak, to inspire and talk about loving kindness. So yes, I have now expanded it. It truly, everything I do now is around the art of hugging. It's around the promotion of loving kindness in our society.
Tell us about what you've learned about society's reaction to your hugging. Some people
like anything. Most people people react differently to everything, and the same reality will be seen by every other person differently, because we each have different attitudes and different perceptions of life based on the same thing because of our experiences. So when it comes to physical affection, when it comes to the hug, that's why I developed the 5 principles of hugging in my book, which is to hug with respect, without conditions, to hug with heart, to hug in the present moment, and to hug with gratitude, because I found that, you know, not everyone will accept what I have to offer equally, and some people will come for a hug and they won't want to give anything in return, but they'll want a hug. They'll be there in front of me and they won't react in any way whatsoever, and then they'll leave. Other people will walk by and they'll be rude. Other people will run from far off and jump into my arms. People will come in groups. People will, you know, will laugh. They have every kind of reaction possible. And this, facing this constantly every day, because I have hugged at least 100,000 people up to date, and I found that we are all incredibly unique individuals, and yet we are all the same. And it's in that similarity, not only the same in terms of energy, but the same in terms of we all want to be happy. We all want to be loved unconditionally. We all need comfort. We all need to be appreciated and accepted entirely for who we are. And hugging is innate. Hugging is the first thing we receive. The first time we are loved, we feel comfort, safety, and love is when our mother or our caregiver takes us in our arms when we're a baby. And that's never lost. That sensation, that feeling is never lost. We learn throughout our lives then to either, through our families or circumstances, to either be affectionate or not, to either be comfortable with affection or not. That's a learned habit. But innately, we are all affectionate, loving beings that desire that. And I say to people, you know, you don't have to go out and hug strangers. But what I do invite you to do is smile to a stranger. At least one a day, or at least, you know, offer a kind word to somebody or a helping hand. And if you can offer a hug, well, why not, if you're comfortable with that? But we need, what I'm promoting and what I'm talking about and what I do, the reason I do what I do is I think it's important to, I think like Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. You be it. No point in talking about peace if you don't have inner peace. There's no point in talking about being loving if you can't act lovingly. You can't be loving towards other people.
Tell us a little bit about the history of hugging, because you track that in your book. What happened with hugging? Why is it so confined in many societies and cultures?
Well, I think because it's physical touch, and physical touch has been unfortunately taken over by sexual touch and sensuality. I mean, especially in our Western society, where most of our advertising is based on sensuality and sexuality, and the fact that it says, well, you know, if you want to be desired, if you want to be loved, if you want to be appreciated and accepted, you're not good enough as you are, and you need to dress like this, and they have all these models and these images of how it's supposed to look, and the idea of love that's promoted in film and in romance novels is not the reality of what love is. What true love is. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. Being in love is a feeling. That's another thing. But loving is a choice. We choose to love our partner. We truly do. We choose to be loving or not to be.
At the same time, though, isn't hugging a gateway to love?
It can be, yes. Certainly. It has been for me. And when we talk about love, we're talking about if I understand correctly, the love that you mean is you're talking about unconditional, non-sexual love, correct? Is that correct?
Well, that's the tension, right? I mean,
that is where the difficulty lies. That's where the rub is. It's oftentimes in our minds, men will say, well, you know, I can't hug you because, like, I'm not like that. You know, I hug women. Or, you know, women will ask permission from their husbands. Or there's that whole idea where, oh, you're hugging him too long, and suddenly there's a time limit. See, we all have preconceived ideas as to what is sexual and what isn't, and therefore what is permissible and what isn't. And for each individual person that we learn that within our society and within our family, what is acceptable and what isn't. And when we're faced with that challenge, which is what I do in terms of what I do, because I challenge, I truly, my act challenges people, challenges the thought process, challenges the perception of physical affection. Because I say physical affection in a very non-sexual way, in a very truly loving way, and caring and unconditional way, is beautiful and acceptable by anybody and everybody. People will say, well, you know, don't you get more women that come and hug you than men? And I say, no, it's not true. I get the same amount of women as the same amount of men. I get it. Hugging is a personal choice. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with culture. It has nothing to do with sex, with race, with religion, with social economic standing. I get street people to come and hug me, and I get the mayor who comes and hugs me, and everything in between. It's a personal choice. It truly is. I mean, I was listening to both of you talking, and Melanie was saying that she was uncomfortable hugging strangers, and that's fine, and that's an acceptable way. I mean, if she's comfortable with that, that's fine too. But I would say to her, okay, how many strangers do you simply smile to or wish a nice day to in one day? And the reason I say that is because there are, though we may not realize it, there are many, many lonely and isolated people in our society, even within our families.
Mark,
at work.
If I can interrupt, I have a question for you about that.
Yes, please.
Because you bring up a very good point, and your talk is absolutely fascinating, and this is so interesting to hear, but you ask, how many people do I say hello to?
Yes.
On a daily basis.
Well, strangers that you simply walk by on the street and say,
right, so
how do I say,
I walk
sir,
to work
or ma'am?
Every morning, and I smile at the people that I walk past on the bridge.
Well, that's wonderful.
And I say hello to the person on the boat next to me when I go home at night, even
that's
though I've
great.
Never met him or her.
That's great.
But that doesn't mean I have
then
to
you are one of the
hug
few.
Somebody. It's a completely separate issue.
To me, I don't think so. Because
yes.
I think
notice
that
the word
my form is hugging,
notice.
But I also say that it's beyond form, because right now I'm using the hug, yes, but what I teach is unconditional love and the sharing of loving kindness. And what I do is random acts of loving kindness, but I use the hug to do that. And I know that not everybody can go out and hug strangers or has the ability to or even the desire to, but we do need to connect. And what I've found through what I do is that we live in a wary society. We're concerned about strangers. We're afraid of strangers, more and more so with everything that's going on in the world, with the terrorists and so on and so forth, and all the situations around the world. We're constantly bombarded with the suffering and the tragedies of life through our media, through our papers, through our communities. And so, therefore, we're closing ourselves off. We're isolating ourselves, not only with our families, but within ourselves. We're separating ourselves from other people. We're creating this bubble to protect ourselves. And it's based on fear. And we live in a fear-based society more and more so. And that's what I witness. And I simply want to, through my own example, is say, look, we can be loving, and it's okay. It's okay to be loving with a stranger. It's okay to be kind. If you can't be loving, be kind. And if you do, all power to you, great. But when I go in the subway and I stand at the end of the subway car and I see all these people, half of them with their heads down, looking so miserable, closed off in their tiny space, saying, please don't touch me, but please, I need so much comfort and love right now. But leave me alone.
But isn't there something to be said for personal space, Martin? I mean,
yes.
When you get on a subway,
and that's important.
You're
and
in a cramped
and I talk
area.
About that in the five principles, where I say it's important to respect someone's personal space. The first one is to respect. That means do not impose your hug or your way of loving onto somebody else. Simply listen to their needs and offer them what they need at that present moment, and offer it to them unconditionally. And that's the second principle. Unconditionally means accepting the person as they are, and offering them that. That way, and then giving it to them with heart, with an intention of goodness or kindness towards them, whatever that may be. That could be a hug, it could be a handshake, it could be a gesture of gratitude, and then to experience that moment with that person. When you look that person in the eye and you wish them a wonderful day, just experience that moment. But most of us are in a hurry. We're too much in a hurry. We're going to where we're going, and we're still where we were, and we're not experiencing life as it truly is now, because this is our present, is our reality. So
now, there was something in your book that you talked about that was hugging heart to heart.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Hugging heart to heart? You're talking about the principle, or you're talking about the hug?
I'm talking about the hug and toe, because I remember when Byron was at the show and he came back to me and said, this is an amazing concept what this guy did, because he's completely reframed the hug.
Right. Well, hugging heart to heart, meaning that when you take someone in your arms, first of all, you ask somebody if you want to hug them, generally. Ask them, whether it's through your eyes or through your words, but you ask them permission. And then you open your arms up to them, and by opening your arms to them, you're accepting them unconditionally as they are. That means that if they don't respond to your hug by wrapping their arms as tightly around you as you are them, it's okay. Because you're there, you're offering them a hug to satisfy their need, to comfort them. And once you've taken somebody into your space and you pull them into your heart and you bring your heart to theirs, then it's in that moment that you can give them a loving intention, you know, an intention of well-being. And then once they're there, to savor that moment, to savor the breathing, the heartbeat, to feel someone else's heartbeat, the warmth of their arms around you, and then slowly you let them go and you say, thank you for having shared this beautiful moment. And imagine, it's fine that you know somebody and you're comfortable and you see them again and you're comfortable in that and you share that hug with someone that you know. But imagine then sharing that kind of hug with someone you don't know, sharing that gift where in that moment your ego steps aside and you are simply two human beings who share a moment of loving kindness unconditionally, and then go their separate ways, expecting nothing in return, but knowing that each of you has shared a moment of pleasure and joy. That's what I experience constantly, and I'm assuming that others would experience the same thing. That's why, to me, I find hugging is so important. It's something that's been lost. It's an art that's been lost, because it's such a beautiful act, a truly beautiful act. And I say to you, even if you don't hug strangers, everybody you hug from now on in your life, take a moment to truly be present in what you share with them, in that hug. Make it the last hug you will ever give them and the first you've ever experienced.
Boy, this has been interesting today, Martin. Having met you, I have to tell you, you're charming and elegant and just a remarkable individual for all of the contributions you've made to so many people. The book is just really quite interesting in telling your story. I have a final question for you that's perhaps interesting. You've really created a format that has brought the hug into the mainstream in both your book and your website, and more importantly in the performance that you offer.
Yes.
Do you feel that you can have an impact on society without hugging, without the actual hug that you perform individually by shows like this and by your speaking? In other words, can your message have an impact on how we treat one another? And if so, how? And how have you seen that?
Your question isn't quite clear. You mean if I wouldn't be allowed to hug, for example, if I could still have an impact if I wasn't using the hug?
Well, I mean, do you think that you're onto something that's so powerful that the consideration of it alone is making people's lives better?
Yes. Yes.
And how have you seen that demonstrated?
10 years ago, there was a term coined by a professor in the U.S. called our society was cocooning. That means we were closing off into each other. We were getting into our cocoons and isolating ourselves in our homes. In this time of great communication throughout the world, instant communication, we are becoming more and more isolated within ourselves. And I'm seeing more people that are isolated and I think it's truly important because this is a time now where we need to connect with each other. We need to connect not only as families, as friends, as societies, as cultures. I mean, our world is burning up in certain places, and it's affecting everybody around the world. It's creating tension everywhere. And the hug or rapprochement, getting closer to each other, whether it's through a hug or whether it's through cuddling or whether it's through, and you know, I've hosted not cuddling parties, but I have hug, cuddle, and storytelling evenings, which people come and we hug and cuddle, and I do meditations with them, and we read childhood stories that inspire. It allows people to really experience something authentic communication, where we can put the ego aside and we can truly, and our fears of being judged. And that is one of the greatest things, is that we all have a fear of being judged and not accepted entirely for who we are. And in those events I try to create that kind of environment where truly people can be accepted as they are. And I think the cuddle parties that take place that you mentioned earlier in the show try to create the same thing. And it's not a weird thing, it's not for everybody, but there are some people, and there are many, many people in our society who need this kind of environment to feel safe. I have a woman who wrote
serious
to me, said,
do you worry that you're being too serious about hugging, and in fact one of the positive benefits of your experience is the smiles,
because hugging is
the
fun.
Laughing, the taunting. Like, this guy's trying to hug. This is the craziest thing. He's making a living hugging. I mean, isn't there a funny component to what you do that's perhaps one of the best components, really?
Of course there is. I mean, of course. I mean, somewhere along the line, you know, you figure this. You know, here's this man standing in public just hugging people. I mean, it is. There's something absolutely funny and wonderful and amusing and exhilarating about it at the same time, and totally weird. I mean, I admit, it is totally weird. But then the question is, I think it's weird that it's weird somewhere along the line.
This is what I think you need to do, Martin. Here's some little, I'm in the marketing world here, and to me, if I could go to either HuggingLife.com, your other site, or HuggingBusker.com, and I could see you in really funny hugs, or you did some funny, you know, odd hugs that you tried to peg people that were really, you know, maybe some people that didn't like a hug, or they double hesitated, or they turned their head away. I mean, and you labeled them as certain hugging types. I mean, that would be funny. That would be... I think that could really help you market what you're doing.
But I have that in the book.
Do you?
Yeah, I have a whole section on that in the book. A lot of my hugs, I mean, from the 48 different hugs, illustrated hugs that I have in the book, I have all kinds, from discordant hugs to intimate hugs to dynamic hugs to healing hugs, variations of hugs, group hugs. I have, you know, the cinnamon roll hug. And in my section of essays on hugging, I have a whole bit that's truly, truly amusing, where I talk about what kind of hugger are you? Are you academic or alpha or aggressive or angry or bashful or casual, compulsive, cool, cuddly, cursory, delicate, discordant, you know? And it goes on. So I do have that side in my book. The book is not serious. The book is amusing, it's fun, but it's also profound. It has its moments, it has, there is a spiritual aspect to it, and the three meditations at the end, of course, because it talks about my own experience, but it's a light-hearted book that brings joy, that also brings reflection. And on my site, you talk about pictures and photos that I have. A lot of the photos, I don't take them myself. A lot of photos people have sent in, so I can't choose the photos that I put on there. I only use the ones that people have sent me. So I'm limited with that, but it's true. I maybe when I do talk about what I do, there's a lot of passion, and maybe it sounds overly serious. But what I do is a lot of fun. I mean, humanity is great. I mean, we're wonderful as people, as human beings. We're so different. We're so quirky. We're so weird in our own original and unique way. That's what's so fascinating. We're beautiful. All of us, each and every one of us, we're beautiful, incredible beings. And we should be happy with our uniqueness.
Well,
at least I am.
We've been happy chatting with you today. That's
I have
sure.
a question for you. Do you have a moment?
Sure.
Okay. I'm planning, I've been thinking of going in December. I wanted to take an old jalopy with my free hug suitcases and two cases of books and go down to Florida, and from December till June, work my way across the southern U.S., stopping in small towns and giving free hugs and doing book readings and going all my way to Book Expo until June in L.A., and then working my way up the coast in the summer. What do you think?
I think that
you think
we
the
would
South
love
is ready
to
for me?
Follow you and track you along the way. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah?
You should move it forward. I think you should take your hugs all across the United States. And on your way down from Montreal, if that's where you're coming from, please stop in Boston so you can hug everyone in our office, Melanie included.
Well, I have
Melanie,
to ask her, but maybe, you know, we'll get to know each other over coffee first, and then maybe she'll say okay. What do you think, Melanie?
I think we could start with coffee. That's
okay.
Well, listen, we've enjoyed having you on the show today, Martin. And,
well, thank
really
you. I'm grateful that you've had me on your show. I thank you for allowing me to talk about what I do and about my passion. And yeah, I will certainly definitely stop by your office when I do go my U.S. free hugs tour.
Can't wait. Best of luck to you. Once again, enjoyed having you on the show. Tune in next week, everyone, for another fabulous edition of the Life Tips Webmaster World Radio Show. Thanks, Martin. Thanks, Melanie. Thanks, everyone. Steph Cutter for organizing everything. And off to the races we go to another show. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.